The supermarkets are already selling hot cross buns and Easter eggs, foods that are traditionally eaten only on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. This is not surprising in a culture that finds it difficult to limit consumption of any product to just one day a year. Our culture has little interest in gastronomic constraint. Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter, is a time when the Christian church has emphasized constraint. In Western Christianity, Lent lasts from Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday. It's a solemn preparatory time. There are no flowers in Lent. We are encouraged to pray, give to the needy, and give up rich foods. Curtailing the intake of calories may have originated for practical reasons. In the northern winter, by March, food that had been stored the previous autumn was running out, or had to be used up before it perished. The joys of spring were not just the flowers popping up, but the arrival of fresh food. The Lenten fast could be rigorous in times past. Socrates Scholasticus, writing from Constantinople in the 4th century, reported that in some places all animal products were strictly forbidden, while others permitted fish and others ate only bread. In some places, believers abstained from food for an entire day. In most places, however, the practice was to abstain from eating until the evening, when a small meal without meat or alcohol was eaten. In the days of authoritarian church leadership, abstinence, like everything else, was enforced. It resulted in numerous ways to circumvent culinary prohibitions. An elderly priest once told me, with a twinkle in his eye, that there are many and varied saints' days in Lent, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, it being permissible, of course, to drink alcohol on a saint's day. Of course, as the church slowly learned, enforced piety soon ceases to be piety at all. Enforced piety, however, was profitable. If the rich or unrestrained wanted to indulge, then dispensations were granted, for a fee, of course. It is popularly believed that such monies built several churches in Europe, including the butter tower of the Rouen Cathedral, butter being one of the products prohibited in Lent. Today in the West, the practice of fasting is considerably relaxed. In the Roman Catholic Church, it is traditional to abstain from meat every Friday for the duration of Lent. On Ash Wednesday, it is customary to fast for the day with no meat, eating only one full meal. A number of Christians, Protestants included, give up meat, alcohol, sweets, and other types of food. Anglicans generally don't do abstinence. We don't favour self-denial. We have a theology that affirms the good things in life and our participation in them. Instead of abstinence, Anglicans have prepared for Easter by trying to be generous towards others. This Lent, for example, the Archbishops of Canterbury and York encouraged their followers with these words: to help make our communities, local or global, clean and secure places of generosity. Yet at its best, the ancient admonition to fast for Lent invites Christians to question what we need and why. There is a deep truth that the more we depend on possessions, the greater the danger that we will worship them. Many New Zealanders go camping over the summer. They take what their car and trailer can carry and head off to a beachside campground or an isolated paddock. There, if the weather is kind, they can relax for a week or two. Prior to departure, campers have to ask the question about what they need and why. The young daughter, who proudly fills a case with a dozen sets of clothes, is gently instructed in the art of discerning between luxury and necessity. Some campers deliberately stay away from the benefits of electrical power in order to lessen the impact of modern technology. Power is not always beneficial or conducive to good familial relationships. Once away, campers become much more attuned to the environment than is the case in their suburban existence. The ground underfoot, the weather forecast, the bugs, and the sun play a much greater role in their daily lives. Campers, too, often find, in the absence of work pressures, the usual avenues of entertainment, more time to talk to friends, go for walks, play with children, and watch sunsets. New Zealand society, I think, is in danger of losing the art and discipline of self-constraint. Whether it is our desire to drink to excess, eat until obese, or spend unrestrained, time and again our values of community, family, and individual well-being are compromised by our appetite for more. Do we control our appetites, or do they control us? As I move around Auckland, it seems that parties can't happen without alcohol. Children can't be entertained without television and computers. And adults can't feel successful without the latest and greatest products. Like campers, we need to take time out. We need to pause and consider what we need as opposed to what we want, and the social and physical costs of both. One way of doing this is to observe a self-imposed period of going without. A Lenten fast can help us differentiate between what is a necessity and what is a luxury. It can help us consider what kind of possessions and power we want in our lives and the consequences of having more. For those who practice self-constraint, there are also other benefits. Our awareness of our land and climate and our impact upon them can be enhanced. Our social relationships can also benefit. Alcohol in particular often distorts and impairs relationships. Lastly, and maybe most importantly, we usually begin to feel better within ourselves, freer and happier. Self-constraint does not impair, indeed it can enhance our enjoyment and love of life. It is food for the soul.